Our loving Father, as we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hungry today for your heavenly food. Open wounded hearts to the balm of your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, that we may receive what you reveal. For your glory and our eternal good, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You are what you eat. That was the title of an international bestseller in 2006 by Gillian McKeith. You are what you eat, how to change your life. And that book changed the minds of many people about what we eat. Those are the words that came to my mind this past week. You are what you eat. These are the words that came to my mind as I read and I reflected and prayed over today's gospel reading. You are what you eat, in which our Lord Jesus scandalizes and he shocks religious leaders when he says, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." You are what you eat. These mystifying words are not more fully understood until after our Lord's death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord Jesus is talking about the Eucharist. And this text is one of the reasons why I am an Anglican. St. Augustine, in an Easter sermon, said, "If we receive the Eucharist worthily, we become what we receive. We become what we eat." For the next few moments, I want to prayerfully think with you upon these words, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." I am intrigued by the fact that C.S. Lewis, in all of his writing, never wrote a paper or treatise on the Eucharist. And he said that that was for very practical reasons. In his book, Letters to Malcolm, he says, "You ask me why I've never written anything about Holy Communion, for the very simple reason that I am not good enough at theology. I have nothing to offer." And as I pondered this text this past week, I thought, I'm not good enough at theology. I don't have nothing to offer. I feel with Lewis in that. But I'm going to go ahead and talk. But I hope to be rather a worship leader, to lead you and me in awe and wonder and adoration of what we do this morning as we eat the bread and we drink the cup. The context this morning for our gospel reading there in John chapter 6, it's about eating. Jesus has just fed the 5,000. We are told that Passover is near, where people will eat history, if you will, and they will celebrate the manna that came down from heaven that God provided for them in the wilderness. And it is within that context of the feeding of the 5,000 and Passover approaching that Jesus says that he is the bread of heaven who has come down so that people may eat of him and never die. Now, as Jesus talks about people eating his body and drinking his blood, they are scandalized. It is an abomination. It's not kosher. It's against Jewish law to drink blood. Meat must be carefully drained of blood. So some years ago, I met an Orthodox Jewish man whose job was going to various kosher butchers to make sure that the meat was rightly prepared. No blood. And so people are scandalized by what Jesus is saying. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. We know that the early Romans were scandalized, and they accused Christians who were coming together, and they were cannibals, that they were eating a man's body. The people find these to be hard words. In fact, later in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, it says that many of Jesus' disciples turn away. And Jesus says to Peter, well, are you going to leave me too? And Peter says, I don't have any place to go but you. And Jesus says, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And Jesus talks about being the bread who comes down from heaven. Now, there's something very interesting that happens here in the Greek text, as Jesus does not back down. He does not mince his words. He doubles down in that he uses an even stronger Greek word for eating. It's the word trago, which means to gnaw, to munch, to chew on. It's a very forceful, graphic word. And Jesus also uses it in a tense of the verb that expresses repeated, continuous action. He who keeps on eating, munching, chewing, he who keeps on eating my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. And that is one of the things that holds me in awe this morning as we approach the Lord's table, the oneness that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many attempts have been made to explain what it is we're doing here today. We know that the early Christians simply affirmed that they believed that Jesus was present with them as they ate and as they drank. As we get into the later Middle Ages, people try to explain, to define, to understand what it is that's happening as we eat and as we drink, and many different theories came up with. I mean, where you have three theologians, you're going to have four opinions. Coming from a Reformed background into Anglicanism, I appreciate the words of John Calvin. In his Institute of Christian Religions, in his long chapter on the Lord's Supper, John Calvin says, I will not be ashamed to confess that it is too high a mystery either for my mind to comprehend or my words to express. And to speak more plainly, I rather experience than understand it. A man said to me one time, he says, you know, I don't think children should be allowed to participate in the Lord's Supper. And I said, why? He said, because they don't understand it. And I said, do you understand it? Jesus' command is to take and eat, not take and understand. How Christ is present with us in the bread and the cup may forever remain a mystery, but we do gather at his command that he is present with us. Oftentimes on a Sunday, as I prepare to eat the bread and drink of the cup, I remember that scene in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, where the camp of Israel, there are poisonous serpents in the camp. And God directs Moses to to form a bronze serpent and to raise it up in the camp. And whoever looks at that bronze serpent in faith is saved from death. It wasn't just enough that they think about it. It wasn't just enough that they believe it. But they needed to look at it. In a few moments, we will hear the celebrant speak those wondrous words that I so love. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Lord, I don't understand it, but you are with us. To gain a little bit of help in this text this morning, I looked at the Book of Common Prayer. And there in that middle section is the catechism, in which a question is asked, what are the benefits which we receive in the Lord's Supper? It's a good question, isn't it? What are the benefits which we receive in the Lord's Supper? The answer. The benefits we receive are the forgiveness of our sins, the strengthening of our union with Christ and one another, and a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, which is our nourishment in eternal life. I don't understand it, but by faith I eat with thanksgiving, because you are what you eat. Last year, when we thought we were at the height of the COVID pandemic, and we were distancing, and many churches were not gathering, we were gathering several times a week in gatherings as small as 10 people. Why? Because we believe that something very wonderful takes place as we eat and as we drink. That Christ is here with us in the bread and the cup, as Jesus has promised that he would be with us. How? Don't ask me to explain, but we are what we eat. As I said earlier, C.S. Lewis never wrote a paper on the Eucharist, but in a letter that he wrote to his brother Warney, he cited with approval the words of Francis de Sales, which I read. As mountain hares become white in winter because they neither see or eat anything but snow, so by adoring and feeding of beauty, purity, and goodness in the Eucharist, you will become altogether beautiful, pure, and good. You become what you eat in faith. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? I love that part in many of our Eucharist services where Matt Flora sings, be known to us, Lord Jesus, in the breaking of the bread. Words that take us back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, where no one gets the resurrection. They're not understanding. The disciples don't know what to make of an empty tomb. Mary Magdalene doesn't recognize Jesus. And there are two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking with them, and they don't know that it's Jesus. Until when? Their eyes were opened in the breaking of the bread. There's something very significant, wonderful, glorious that happens to you and me when by faith we eat and we drink. As we come together as Christ has commanded us to do, take and eat. Not take and understand, but take and eat. That those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, they have eternal life. and I will raise them up on the last day. I don't know if you're one of those who gained their COVID-20 over the years, but I'm one of those who food is my drug of choice in times of stress, anxiety, worry. I want to eat a cheese sandwich. We come here this morning as hungry people, as people who are going through a very difficult time. And we're hungry for peace. We're hungry for meaning. We're hungry for joy. And Jesus invites us to eat and drink and experience our oneness with Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.